Puppy poops, doggy doo-dee, bombs, stinkers. Whatever you call them, you know you don't want to scoop it. Keep your yard clear of the mess when you call Duty Calls. We understand that things can pile up, and when it does, Duty Calls will be there to lighten the load. Our clean team scours your yard to remove any visible evidence of your dog's business and whisks it off to be responsibly disposed. And we do it for as little as $12 a month. Get back to enjoying your yard without fearing a squishy surprise underfoot. Because whether you call it a deuce or a doggy diamond, it's still kind of gross. Visit DODYcalls.com and we'll scoop the poop. Schedule your first cleanup now at DODYcalls.com.
When it comes time to clean that do, we'll do the dirty work so you don't have to. DODYcalls. DODYcalls. For when things start piling up, Duty Calls.
That's DODYcalls.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, good evening and welcome to the program. And in case you didn't notice, this is not the voice of Pastor Ernie Sanders. This is his highly unpaid professional assistant, Pastor Joe. Pastor Ernie had a little relapse with his COVID. He was sick, feeling better, and went back to work a little too soon. And I'm afraid you're going to have to keep him in prayers. He's back sick. So tonight I'm going to have a lot of help. The title of tonight's Bible study is going to Be Ye a Doer. And I kind of picked that because our guest is Jan Porter of Faith to Action, the starter of the Heartbeat Bill, and she is definitely a doer of the word. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you. So glad to be here with you, Pastor.
I've been on a lot of times with you, but never just you and I alone, so I guess we can get along. We've done it before, right?
You know, this is the thing. Any friend of Pastor Ernie's is a friend of mine, and I think you're spot on about praying for him, and maybe that's something we could lead with, because we certainly need him back in the battle.
We definitely do. I was going to just kind of wait till I got you introduced here. Would you like to lead in a prayer for Pastor Ernie?
I would. I just actually prayed with him on the phone an hour ago, and it is like him. To jump into work too soon. And that is like Pastor Ernie. But I think, Pastor, if you're listening, just relax and recover. And let's just go to the Lord on his behalf. Father, I thank you that you're the same today as you were yesterday. You healed every single person who came to you. You're the God who raises the dead. And so COVID is nothing to you. And so, God, we just thank you for healing Pastor Ernie. We just command the sickness to go, just as you have the authority to curse the fig tree. We curse COVID, the virus, and we command it to leave his body. And we thank you, Father, that you paid 100% for Pastor Ernie's healing. And I just pray that he just now receives it, and that when he rests tonight, he will wake up fully recovered and be able to rest even longer without any guilt or any condemnation, just to be able to take a Sabbath in you as his body heals. And I just praise you and thank you for this godly man who has been such a leader for so many years. And I just pray, God, heal and restore, strengthen him. Even as he rests, we pray for restoration in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you very much for that. We're going to start in the book of James, excuse me, in chapter 1. And we're going to start with verses 22 through 25. I don't know if you and Pastor got any of this information, if he got it back to you. But if you're there, got your Bible, do you want to start like I'll read a line, you read a line?
No, go ahead and read it because I'm going to go get it right now.
Okay. All right. James 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we see we've got two things here. God starts off explaining, you know, just being a hearer doesn't mean much. You can listen, you can go to church, listen to the Bible study, listen to the sermon. You can listen to the hymns. You can be well educated. But if you're only a hearer and don't, well, like Jan Porter's faith to action, if you don't take your faith and put it to an action, being just a hearer only, you are deceiving yourself as far as what God is expecting from you. In fact, he kind of demands that we be not just hearers, but we be active participants. And he's given us enough things to do as far as that goes. He's told us we are to what? Witness to his work. We are to, you know, run to the battle. We're to reprove when we hear something wrong, rebuke evil. We are to, we'll get to it later, we are to save those that are being led to slaughter. There's many things that we are told to do by the Lord. And he's just talking about if you just look into that mirror, a man beholding his natural face, looking in a glass, you're seeing just what? A reflection. You're not that person. That's just a reflection you're looking at. And the one who, what? It says, looketh in not just to the mirror, but looks into the law of liberty. In other words, God's law. Then you become a doer of the word, a doer of the work also. And this, God says, this person shall be blessed indeed. And I, so much through my life, I have seen so many people who feel religious because they are hearers. They pay attention and they listen. But I've gone into a lot of churches visiting, traveling, where you go in and, well, there's a lot of talk, but you look at what the church's mission statement is, what the church is doing, and often there's a lot of entertainment, but very little. God's word is not always followed. Let's go over to chapter 4 in James. And I had an equipment breakdown today, and I'm having a little trouble here, so bear with me. In verse 4 in chapter 4, it talks about who is with enmity with God, the adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now that is blunt, plain to the point. If you are a friend of the world, if you are part of the world and all its wokeness, all its political correctness, it says you're an enemy of God. God is not happy, and he calls you an enemy. What then are you, what's the difference? Well, if we go over to verses 11 and 12, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver, one who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? We have one judge, and we have one lawgiver, our Lord Jesus. So he tells us, in a sense here, we are to be a doer of his law. So God kind of lays out there, if you're back, Jan, we are to be a doer of the work, a doer of the word, and a doer of the law. That kind of simplifies what God's asking of his children, isn't it?
Yeah, and it really just points to the fact that Christianity is not a spectator sport. And there's a lot of people that they come, and I remember Don Wildman gave a speech many years ago. I brought him in when I was the national director of the Center for Reclaiming America, and I brought him in to give this speech about what Christians do. And we go to church, we hear a sermon, and we go home. That's what Christians do. And it's just repeated of all the problems we're facing, but it's Christians that, you know, they go to church. They listen and they go home, and that's what they do. And the point of the whole thing is we are to be salt and light in this dark and decaying culture. And here's the thing that I think a lot of people are hung up on. They say, you know, I'm not sure I want to be a Christian because, yeah, it's all those things you're not allowed to do. What they don't understand is what Christianity is not a checklist of the do's and don'ts of what you're not allowed to do. It's actually dreaming with God and doing the impossible. You know, when we started out 11 years ago to introduce a bill to keep hearts beating, they told us it was impossible. And I think you were on some of those shows when I'd be on with Pastor Ernie, and we'd talk about how, you know, there was a blockade in the Senate, and the rhinos were keeping this bill from coming to a vote. And here's the deal. I knew this, that the state of Ohio motto is true because Jesus is the one who said it. He said, with God, all things are possible. So I knew that this was going to pass. I didn't know how long it was going to take. I didn't know how hard it was going to be. I didn't know I was going to be slandered with over $1 million when I took on the Senate president. But you want to know something? It was worth it. God delivered on his word that with him, all things are possible. And as you know, now there's 14 states with heartbeat laws, including Texas. And I have the privilege of recruiting the Texas sponsor. His name is Brian Hughes. He's in the state Senate. And what's interesting is I was looking for somebody like a Ron Hood or a Candace Keller who led the charge on the Ohio heartbeat bill. By the way, they're both running for governor, or lieutenant governor. That's who I'm supporting, by the way. And so I looked for somebody who was a man after God's own heart, like a Ron Hood, but I needed them in Texas. And I heard this gentleman speak, Brian Hughes speak, and this is what he did. He used his time at the podium at an event in Dallas where I was speaking, and he used his moment in the sunlight, in the spotlight, to present the gospel. And Pastor Joe, I heard that, and I said, that's my guy. And I didn't even know at the time that he was not only willing to be the sponsor of the Texas Heartbeat Bill, but he was chairman of the committee that heard the bill. That is, you know, is the bill that is enacted that is saving 40,000 children a year. You mentioned a minute ago about rescuing those that are being carried away to death in Psalm 24:11, or the commandment we have in Psalm 31:8, and that is that we are to be a voice for those appointed to die. And that's where we are right now. We kept holding on to that promise that we serve the God of the impossible. And what they said was impossible is now inevitable. 14 states have passed heartbeat laws, and now we know the pathway to victory. It's the Texas-like bill, which I'm told is pending now in Iowa and other states. where we're going to see the end of abortion. Here's the best news nobody seems to know, and that is the Supreme Court has reviewed those bills now four times. The Texas heartbeat bill has had four reviews by the Supreme Court, and you want to know something? Even though they're railing against it, even though Elena Kagan is saying, oh, who's the genius that found the kink in the armor and who violates our commands? By the way, the Supreme Court doesn't give commands. They give opinions.
Right, they don't.
Been overturned literally hundreds of times, right? But what? Even though they're screaming and shouting about it, guess what they don't have? The votes to overturn it. And so here's what I know. When you live the Christian life, that means you get the opportunity to do the impossible, because it's all about what God can do through you. I've heard it said the only ability you need to serve God is availability. And I found that to be the case. I was the kid who was afraid to give a speech in class. And they say, well, you know, it's not really up to me to put my faith to action. I'd not leave that to somebody who has that gifting or has that talent. But when I found out about what was happening to children in our country, I had to swallow that fear of public speaking and say, you know what? What matters more is the fact that there are 4,000 children that were alive this morning that tonight are dead. That trumps any fear and apprehension we may have. As Francis Schaeffer put it this way, he said that faith is not a leap in the dark. It's ceasing to call God a liar. I mean, there comes a time where we have to act like the word of God is true. And I just believe that right now God is looking for someone to agree with him. And
exactly.
And I just want to encourage those who are listening, you know, be the one willing to put your faith to action, because you're going to be able to see historic changes that you're going to see the impossible bow to the name of Jesus as spoken through your lips. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like seeing God do the impossible. And that's what he's done. I've seen him do it in many ways, but especially, of course, in the most recent in passing heartbeat bills, heartbeat laws around the country, and the one in Texas, saving 40,000 children a year.
Amen. I've looked through Scripture, and many, many times God waits his timing. You look at Abraham and Sarah. His timing is not our time. He waited until they were certain there was no way they were going to have a child at their age. But I wanted to read, we've been talking about this, saving those that are being led to slaughter. Let's read God's actual words. It comes from Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12.
Sorry, I misspoke. I said Psalms. I meant Proverbs. Sorry about that.
It's all right. I just kind of slowly threw that in. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, you can't get any clearer than those that are drawn unto death, those that are ready to be slain. If you can't picture an abortion where they go in and scramble the brains of a little child in the womb, that you're missing the point. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? So many people try and say, well, we're never going to have an abortion, so, you know, I'm being good. I'm following God's law. I'm not, we aren't going to have abortions in our family. But when you look at what he says, if we don't go out there and prevent, try to save those that are drawn to death, those that are about to be slain, especially those that are innocent, then this is what God calls murder. And if we haven't prevented it, we are guilty. He makes it clear. He looks at our heart. He knows that we know we're supposed to do something. So when we will not be willing to take action and go out and stand and defend the unborn, the innocent, if we do not strive to prevent that shedding of innocent blood that God hates, then we are being not only disobedient, but it's kind of like if you watch a crime happen. What is it under the law? If you see a crime happen and don't report it, you're found guilty, aren't you?
Well, you know, it's like we saw in the Nuremberg trials, that those that said, oh, you know, I was just following orders, or you know, I didn't see it, I didn't really know about it. Not an excuse. That's not going to get you off the hook, and it's certainly not with God. But, you know, it goes beyond this. And there's a lot of people who who, well, I'll just tell you this. I'm tired of people who tell you what you want to hear, and they give you all the slogans that you agree with, right? About America first, and there's pro life, and aren't they really just pro everything, American oil, open up the Keystone Pipeline, all the things you want to hear, and then they go to Washington or Columbus and they do whatever they please. And I'm tired of it. And I think that right now where we are is, and we're a place of peril. Our country is in dire circumstances, and we just don't have time to find out if people really mean the things they say. And the thing that I've learned, certainly in the last decade of the battle for life, is that there's only really one way to tell the difference between the real and the rhino. And that is actions. That's it. You know, it's something that we need to understand that actions are what you believe. Everything else is religious talk. It's political slogans. It's worthless. And so,
we used to say there's talking the talk, and then there's walking the walk. And there were a lot of people that were real good at talking the talk, but when it came to really going out and fighting for your country, like the Ukrainians are doing, there was a lot fewer people willing to walk the walk.
You know, that's right. You see all the posts that people say, "Oh, I stand with the Ukraine," and there was someone that said, the woke people who say they stand with Ukraine, they don't even stand for our national anthem. I'm not so sure that they really are taking a stand. Words, again, mean very little. And so when it came time to see what we're going to do to get our country back, a lot of people have believed this lie that the enemy has said that, oh, well, you need to stay out of politics, which is just like the enemy to say, hey, you know what? Stay out of where all the action is, where all the decisions are made, where the policy is set. Christians, just sit back and let the Marxists run things. See how that goes.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, right?
Right. It's absurd. And so I decided, and we remember back in 2015, I ran against the president of the Senate. That's not a real popular move, but I'm tired of rhinos. I'm tired of those Republicans in name only who say what they think you want to hear, and then they go and they do the opposite. And so I threw my hat in the ring.
They're really worse than the radical liberals that we fight.
The Antichrist system, because
these are the deceivers, and the deceivers are the most dangerous.
They're liars. Let's just come out with it. That's what we're dealing with, and they're the reason why we have the problems we do. Remember when the Republicans had the majority in Congress? It wasn't that long ago. They said they were going to repeal Obamacare. They were going to defund Planned Parenthood. They had the opportunity to pass the federal heartbeat bill, which, by the way, had had 174 co-sponsors, more than any other pro-life bill in Congress, and they refused to bring it to a vote. And so I'm tired of it. I'm just so tired of it. And I said, you know what? We cannot afford to listen to people's slogans for another campaign cycle for people that we don't know if they really mean what they say, because we don't have actions to match it. And so I actually have filed this on Friday. I filed to run in the 13th Congressional District. It's in Summit County and the northern part of Stark County. So it's Akron and Canton and the surrounding areas. And I'm going to run for Congress, and I'm going to see if we can. The reason why is I want to fight for liberty as hard as I fought for life. And by the way, I want to invite people to come to a breakfast we're hosting. It's a breakfast with David Barton. You remember David Barton of Wall Builders?
I sure do. I know David. I've been to many speaking engagements, met him several times.
He is a rock star, in my opinion.
He is
absolutely an amazing historian. He could tell you what the founding fathers had for lunch. And he's going to be speaking at our Faith to Action breakfast. It's going to be this coming Friday, March 11th at 7:30 in the morning. I know it's early, but it's worth it. It's at the Weymouth Country Club. And if you want to get tickets, you can still get them right now at f2a.org, faith2action.org. I'm going to take tickets all the way up until Thursday night so that we can reserve your breakfast and you can be a part of it. I'm going to be speaking there, but David Barton is going to be our keynote, and you're not going to want to miss this. He's going to talk about what we're allowed to do and what the Christian role in politics really is. It's going to be a very enlightening opportunity. In fact, I encourage you to not only get your tickets, you can order a table. It's tables of eight. That means if you're a couple, you've just invite three more couples, you've got a full table. But I would encourage you to invite your pastor, because what I'm finding is pastors, many of them, have believed the lie that they've got to remain silent during the election cycle, that they're not allowed to speak on issues that God says something about.
The truth, because it's easier to feign ignorance and just, I just preach a good gospel message. I preach salvation, and that's all that I really need to do. And they hide behind that.
Yeah, and what they need to understand is, if you want to, you can wring your hands and you can complain every night when you watch the news, or you can put your faith to action and change it. This is what I've learned, Pastor. Look, I've seen God do the impossible, and what I can tell you is that there is now a place in America that doesn't kill children whose heartbeats can be heard. That's 9 out of 10 babies in the state of Texas. That's more than 100 babies a day, 40,000 a year. And I'm telling you this, if we can end abortion, we can get our country back. Do you understand? All those hand-wringers and the gloom and doom, and it's game over for America. Not true. I believe America shall be saved. That is what I believe. I believe that the time that judgment, it will come, and Revelation will play out just as it's written. But I don't believe that time is now. And that time, incidentally, is we have done something we haven't done for all the elections that I've been around. And that is, we followed to the beginning degree, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know that. We pray at every election, where if we humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek God's face, then God's going to hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land, right? The part we have always forgotten was the turn from our wicked ways part.
Exactly.
And I remember
on that note,
there was
we've got a little break we've got to go to. We're going to pick it up right after this song.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. But even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. I'll remember In November as I step into the little booth. I'll remember. Remember me, I served my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember In November as I step into the little booth. I'll anyone but you will remember in November.
Oh, welcome back. This is Pastor Joe Larson sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders, who's had a little COVID collapse, and we hope he's getting some rest tonight. He's been rather sick. And if you're just tuning in, we've asked everybody to pray for him. Our special guest tonight, that doer of the word, Jan Porter from Faith to Action, announced tonight that she is, I don't know if she's announced it before, but she did make it clear tonight, she is running for the 13th Congressional District there in Ohio. And I am excited about that because we need some people we can count on, trust. In fact, before the break, you were talking about being tired of the rhinos and the promises. Way back, I realized many, many years ago, give away how old I am, I don't need to do that, but I realized that God cannot bless a nation that is going directly against his word. And I remember thinking of all the parts of the Bible that talk about thou shall not, must not, cannot, will not shed innocent blood. And there cannot be any more innocent blood than that of an unborn child. It's impossible. And God cannot bless a nation that is destroying that creation of his in his image that he gave us as a nation, a people that he meant to be a blessing. We cannot continue without God's judgment falling. And when you say you're running, we need more people like you to step up and realize the only way, and I truly believe this with all my heart, the only way we will turn this nation around, that we will save this nation from a spiritual collapse, a physical, or a first be financial and physical collapse, is if this nation repents and stops murdering God's precious, precious gift to us, the gift of children. And with all my heart, I believe that, and I think that is the key to the future of this nation. Would you agree with me, Jan?
I would, and I'll tell you what gives me great hope is that while we've been marching and we've been debating and we have been talking for 49 years, we now have a victory that is, again, the closest, it is the most spectacular, the most significant victory in 50 years. That is the Texas heartbeat law that protects 9 out of 10 children. We actually did call around to make sure that they weren't killing children. We tried to make appointments, and they're not killing them, as long as those heartbeats can be heard. And by the way, this bill, the way it's drafted, and you can get the actual, no matter where you live, and I understand Pastor Ernie now is reaching across America, wherever you live, you can just download the model bill. We've tweaked it based on the Supreme Court arguments that have happened recently, so that not only can we protect every child whose heartbeat can be heard, we can actually affect the chemical warfare on the unborn, the Plan Bs and the RU-46, because you have to, by the law, to test whether or not there is a heartbeat prior to taking an abortion medication, prior to having surgical abortion, prior to killing that child. You got to know if that child has a beating heart, and if that child beating heart can be detected, then that child is protected. And so when we look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 and we see the prerequisites for God to intervene, to protect us, to heal us, to forgive us, then we have a place in America that's done the very thing we talked about doing for 5 decades. And that's the pathway that now is available to every other state because the Supreme Court does not have the votes to overturn it. How do I know that? Because they've reviewed the Texas heartbeat law 4 times, and if they had the votes, they would have struck it down. I think there are many people who are still stunned that this bill is enacted. It's today protecting children, not someday, but today protecting children. And so here's what I've learned in the last decade of my life in particular, that if we had done what other states had done, for example, South Carolina. South Carolina has a family caucus that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know what they did? They voted as a block. This family caucus joined together and said, hey, Republican leadership, if you want your budget or these bills that are important to you, then you give us a vote on heartbeat. And you know what? They got it. And the same happened in Arkansas with State Senator Jason Rapert, the hero there, who introduced the bill. And they took a group of senators over to the House in this case and said, if you ever want one of these bills that you care about to come through the Arkansas Senate, then you bring the heartbeat bill out of the logjam in committee, you bring it to a vote, you bring it to the floor, and you pass it out of the House. And guess what? They got it. If we had had legislators in the Ohio House enough to band together, then it wouldn't have cost me a decade in my life to pass this through, introduce it five times, overcome two vetoes, and keep really battering up against a brick wall. But this is what I've learned. If we can do that in Congress, we can bypass the leadership. And I'll tell you, I met directly with then Speaker Paul Ryan, and I explained to him that we had the votes to pass the heartbeat bill. We had 174 co-sponsors and 44 additional votes needed to pass the bill, and he wouldn't do it. And so what I want to do is I want to go and make an alignment with some of these leaders who are the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the kinds of people who aren't there to be a career politician. They're there to make a difference. And that's what I want to do. So it's the way we can get things done, not only on the life issue, but the critical issue facing our country right now is the liberty issue. You Amen. Saw it with yep. what the government did with the vaccines. So I had this idea. I said, hey, you know what? Let's get a Nuremberg Amendment. You know what? It basically says if you violate the Nuremberg Code, which requires informed consent before you conduct any medical experiment like the COVID bioweapon, as Pastor Ernie very clearly points out, then guess what? We're going to take your funding. That's the power that Congress has, is the purse strings. We can remove funding from states that require a forced vaccination for education, for travel, for medical treatment, for the purchase of goods and services. We can use that power of the purse to shut out those that are hosting sanctuary cities that violate the law on immigration, and we can secure our borders. I mean, these are the kinds of things that we can do, that instead of just railing about how bad things are and how things need to change, we can actually join together as a group and say, if you want our votes on the budget, the things you care about, then we need to start making a difference. And repealing Obamacare needs to be on the table, balancing the budget. You know what? No one's talking about a balanced budget. All they talk about is more trillion bailout, another trillion bailout, and break our backs better, you know, with another Biden plan. This has got to stop. And I just believe that we need to not only have a balanced budget, but we begin that by cutting funding to the enemies of America, the enemies of Israel, our greatest ally in the Middle East. I mean, I just believe there's a lot we can do besides talk. And I'm as you know, a person of action. I want to go put my faith to action and do it in
exactly.
Washington.
Well, you sound like you read Trump's Art of the Deal, because, see, so many people want these issues. A long time ago, I was in the Right to Life movement, too. My wife and I were board of directors of a large maternity home and crisis pregnancy center, and raising money and, you know, getting the ultrasound machines. And so, shoot, my wife was a counselor for many years. A lot of the women that brokenhearted because they realized what they'd done through abortion. So I know the pain and stuff you're talking about, the agony. But when you look at this whole thing, you sit back and you realize many people wanted these things for an issue because they made a career and they made a living out of activism. I saw it with the National Rifle Association. All of a sudden, high-paid jobs, people got to travel. So many times it was more important to keep the issue going than to actually solve something. And when I came to that realization, I realized how corrupt this nation really can be, because so many people, it became an economic factor, not a religious one, not a moral issue, not let's do something for the good of the nation, for God, family, country, but they made jobs out of it.
Well, you know, they've been using for decades, they've been using babies to get elected rather
exactly.
than using elections to save babies. That's not how it's supposed to
That's
be.
What I mean.
And we've seen it with
if we got rid of abortion, that would be one plank off that they couldn't run on. And I think so many people are loath to give up any of those planks to play politics. So politics has become far more important than the actual running of the country, actually saving children, actually improving lives. It's become a, industry, a cottage industry.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's what we need to stop. And again, if you're not sure who to vote for and everybody's telling you what you think you want to hear, there's one way. There's only one way to tell the difference between the real and the rhinos. And guess what that is? It's actions. It's actual
Look
results.
Look at what they've done.
And so for the last 40 years, I've been actually not only defending life, but remember, let's talk about energy for a second. You know, we're talking about the Keystone Pipeline. Hey, you want to know how to dry up the support of the Russian army? It's quit fueling them, quit paying for their oil. It turned back the Keystone Pipeline back on. It's absurd that we are not doing this. And there was a time when I would be on Pastor Ernie's program talking about, you know what we need to do? We need to send a message to Congress. And I suggested we send them pink slips. That if you voted for Obamacare, if you voted to increase our taxes, but one of the things on that pink slip was if you voted for a cap and trade, remember what that was? It was threatening we basically threatened to fire those who would restrict and penalize our energy use. And we sent 10 million pink slips. That's basically, we used up all the pink paper stock in the United States. If you laid it flat, You laid paper flat, it would be from the ground to the top of the Washington Monument three times.
Wow.
That's what we sent
That's
the message, and it was heard. it really was. But you know what? Cap and trade was never passed. We can join together. There really are more of us than there are of them. And even if there weren't, what I know is that God is famous for working through remnants. That's the beautiful thing. We have a God that doesn't need a majority. Look what he did with Gideon. You know, he says, hey, pare down your army. You could do it with 300 because that way you can't take the credit. I'll get the credit because I'm the one that's going to give you the victory. And so that's really what I'm doing. I mean, there were people who said to me, Jan, you know, you need a whole lot more money than you have. And you know, initially I was in a race where there was a Trump-endorsed candidate. Well, they moved the lines. That's not the case anymore. And I just told this friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, and I said, your politics are too big. And your God is too small. And so, you know, we don't always get the victories right away, as we saw with the heartbeat bill. But you know what? I'm going to step out and I'm going to put my faith to action, and I'm going to fight for liberty as hard as I fought for life. And what the voters do in Summit County, what they do in Stark County, we're going to find out. But I guess what I would like to do is let people know, if you want to find out more about the campaign, you can do that at JanetFolgerPorter.com. And people say, why are you putting the Folger in there? Well, I wrote several books as Folger. A lot of people still remember me as Janet Folger.
Oh, I sure do. I have to fight myself from calling you instead of Porter,
you know,
Folger. So it's Janet Porter Folger, right?
Janet Folger Porter. Porter's my married name, but Folger's my maiden name. And you know, it's funny, when we were gathering signatures for petitions, people said, hey, you know, can you sign for Janet Porter? And they said, What was her name before she got married? And they said, Folger. Oh, yeah, I'll sign. They didn't know me as Porter, but they knew me as Folger. And that's why we're going with Janet Folger Porter. That's what it was when I ran against the Senate, so that we pick up those people who know that I've been in this movement. You know, back in the day, back in the 80s and the 90s, we worked to pass a lot of those bills on the books right now. I mean, I was the one who was lobbying to pass the parental consent in Ohio, got that through, the woman's right to know law, the 24-hour waiting period, the fetal homicide law, patient protection from starvation to dehydration. I lobbied to get those into the Ohio law books. But you want to know what? At the end of the day, it wasn't enough, because all we've done is really regulate around the edges of abortion. And I want it to end. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of marching about it. It's time for the killing to end. And the heartbeat bill is the closest thing we have to a victory. In 9 out of 10 cases, we're going to see children protected. And it may just be that the abortion mills aren't going to stay open for a fraction of their business. And that's really that's really what we need to do is something different. If you want different results, you got to try something different. That's what we did. They said it was impossible. We were blocked by all the establishment, including the Right to Life groups. But we still plowed ahead. It took, again, a long time to do it. But praise the Lord, the victory has come, and the pathway is clear for other states to follow, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Now, you had Janet Folger Porter .com or .org?
.com. JanetFolgerPorter.com. Yeah, so you can, I've made a video explaining what, why I'm running and what it's about. It's got my positions on everything from gun rights. Oh, by the way, in my latest book, this is, you want to know how I feel about guns? My father was an Army sergeant. All right. I'm very much against any effort to restrict and remove guns from law-abiding citizens. In fact, I wrote in my book, A Heartbeat Away, which I dedicated to President Trump, by the way, I wrote, no politician who supports gun control should get armed protection paid for by the citizens they're trying to disarm. And that's what's happening in Congress right now. You got
exactly.
The Nancy Pelosi's of the world. They got armed protection. They've got all kinds of Secret Service, all kinds of people that are guarding them, and they're trying to disarm the law-abiding citizens. It's just not going to happen on my watch. If I get an opportunity to be a voice, I'm going to go do that. And so,
and many of the
Summit
mayors
County,
and different people around the country, these liberals, same things that were defund the police, had a large contingency of armed bodyguards, most of them former policemen, you know, military.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Surrounding them,
and they don't
so
want,
it's real easy. Defund the police. We don't need them, but you try and get close to them, and you got to go through some really tough guys.
You know, and they're the same hypocrites who say leave the borders wide open. You know, they'll cry about Ukraine, but they let our borders, let anybody walk in that wants to. All the violent criminals that are coming in, the illegal drug use, the sex trafficking, that they just open their arms for all of them, but they've got a wall around their homes. You know, it's impenetrable where they live, but they want to leave the rest of us open to this kind of assault. And it's appalling. And I'll just tell you this. It's time for not only to make America great again, it's time to make Northeastern Ohio great again. You know, I looked in the definition of Summit. And Summit County is where I'll be representing, as well as Stark County. And I'm looking at what that means. The summit is the highest point. It's the top. It's the highest level that can be attained. The summit. When have you ever thought of Akron as really the Akron area, the Summit County area, as the highest point? You know what? It's time for that to happen. It's time for them to fulfill their name that they've declared over their county. In the same way, we see Cleveland has been the joke in America. You know what? That needs to stop. We need to start speaking life into this Northeastern Ohio area, and we need to start advancing policies that puts America first, that puts Ohioans first, like even Stark County. Stark is what is clearly distinguished or delineated. And I think that's what I'm trying to do in this election, to say, look, you got a lot of people saying a lot of nice things. And then you have someone who's done it, who's actually spent the last 40 years. Literally, it doesn't seem like I'm that old, but I guess I am.
I remember when you were very young. I was old then.
I started very, very young. But I'll tell you, I worked to draft legislation to protect the religious freedom of Ohio business owners. I was the one, back when I had my syndicated radio program, I was leading the effort to reverse the policy which prohibited military chaplains' right to pray in Jesus' name. And so we lit up their phones every day.
Klingens,
and it was Senator Warner.
You know, chaplain,
remember that?
Klingenschmitt.
Yeah, Chaplain Klingenschmitt. That's right. I was there at his trial where he was removed from office for the crime of praying in Jesus' name. And because of the calls that came in leading the charge, we actually shut that down and reversed the policy so that chaplains in the United States military can continue to pray in Jesus' name. You think one person can't make a difference? I'm telling you, they can. And
they sure can.
The results say otherwise, right? I mean, this is the thing. I was the kid who was afraid to give a speech. But again, it's all about the God that is in us. And we can see God do the impossible. I mean, you talk about voter fraud. After the 2020 election, I put together some videos. And I send them out to my email list. I get them out to in social media for as long as they'll let them stay there, right? But it was forwarded by General Flynn and Sidney Powell. We had well over a million views on multiple platforms talking about the voting glitches of the Dominion machines. But this is nothing new to me. I was standing with Judge Roy Moore and the voter fraud that took place then. I stood in 2000 in Broward County, Florida, and was part of the recount team with the Bush-Gore race.
Right,
now, I remember that election back in 2000, where they declared the state of Florida for Al Gore. I remember that. And I'm not saying I'm the only one who did it, but I got on my knees and I prayed for God to change the results of the election. And then I put my faith to action. I joined the recount team. I was there as part of this. And I'll just tell you a couple of quick stories. Is I was standing there and at the recount team, standing against voter fraud 22 years ago, it is now. Oh, my goodness. They were talking about how they're going to do things fair and how they're going to count the ballots. We don't have ballots now. We need to have paper ballots. So there is something to count.
Oh, do we ever? But, yeah.
So I stood there, and all of the media is of the world is there. I'm literally from all over the globe. They've got their cameras, their microphones. They're all aimed in one way. And I stood next to the guy who's spouting this nonsense about how it's going to be fair. And I was shaking my head. I wasn't trying to get any attention, but I was like, this is ridiculous. And this guy walked away, and they started asking me questions. I said, well, I'll tell you why I disagree with this, because two out of the three people who are judging this race have Al Gore bumper stickers on their car. How fair do you think this is going to be? And so they started asking me more questions, and guy came up to me from the Bush campaign. He said, you know, only certified people are able to speak to the media. And he says, but you speak to whoever you want. And so we stood against voter fraud. We're going to continue to stand against it, but we've got to rein in our elections. I will say one good thing about Ohio is that we count those mail-in ballots, the absentee ballots, before we count the others. I'm told that not only Ohio, but North Carolina and Florida do that. And what that means is they don't know how many votes they have to cheat, how many they got to come up with to make the difference. Now they shut down the election day. They shut down all the polling places. And, oh, wouldn't you know it, we find all these ballots out of trucks and out of suitcases from under tables and all of this nonsense that has been proven. That's what we need to understand is there's some safeguards we need to put. We thankfully have some of those in Ohio, but they didn't know how many votes they needed to cheat with. And that's one of the reasons why we saw the victory we did for President Trump. But it's time to put some. In fact, you know what? With the power of the purse strings in Congress, if you don't have paper ballots, if you don't, and we need to not have a voting month, we need to have a voting day where you come in person unless you're disabled. And that's one of the things that the president talked about. I was down at CPAC a week ago, and that's one of the things he talked about. You know what we can do is we can say, if you don't have voter integrity, if you don't have a voter ID to make sure you are who you say you are, just like with anything else, if you don't do that, then we can dry up your funds in your state and connect those state funds in the budget. And that's one of the things I want to do. Is realize we have the power of the purse strings, and it's high time we use it.
I was just thinking that we got just a couple minutes here before the break, top of the hour break. I guess you could say, well, I don't have a voter ID, but I don't have a vaccine passport either.
That's what the
hypocrisy. We just let it happen. We ignore it. Instead of saying, no, wait a minute, you know, if I have to have this, then they have to have that. And then you realize that's how you fight. You know, it's got to be one of those things where you take a stand and bring out a price to pay. And that's what people haven't done. They haven't made the other side pay a price.
I will say this. I'm so adamantly against vaccine passports. It's not one or the other. It's we need to stop that. That is absolute tyranny. And we need to make sure that never happens. It's come to other countries. It cannot happen here. But if you use your driver's license, you need it to, do anything, whether it's buy alcohol, whether it's to get education, whatever it is. I mean, I had to show my driver's license to fly. You need to show the ID in order to hop on an airplane. And yet you don't require. Is that racist? No, it's not. And it's absurd that these people and their talking points are making no sense, and we're letting them get away with absolute ridiculous and absurd lies. They're lies. This is not a racist policy. It's an accuracy issue.
And then we'll take it up. I've got a story. We're going to start off the top of the hour.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.